89 episodes of the same old crap. It's Moon, P. Jug, and Hobbs. What's up?
Way to sell it. I always look forward to a new week of crap.
We become very misguided on this podcast. A lot of people say, well, what's your podcast about? There is no parameters. There are no boundaries. And if there were, we would violate them as quickly as possible.
We tried it once. We tried boundaries. It's not for us.
No. So Tom Brady retires, and I'm a huge Tom Brady fan. I got the chance to see him play against Carolina in Houston at the Super Bowl. So I got to see him play a couple of different times. Now he's got this $37 million per year broadcasting gig with Fox. Giselle sent him a nice message on Insta. I'm glad he's stepping down, not because I don't want to see him play. I think he's perfectly capable of playing again if he has the right offensive line. I just don't want the guy to get hurt. And the people that are hitting him are massive. These guys are 6'8", 350, and they will mess you up.
It seems like whenever guys talk about Tom Brady and their heroes as far as sporting figures, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit. And it must be what guys feel like whenever women talk about the royal family. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he is kind of your Princess Diana.
I would like to be him. I've seen where he lives.
What are you doing? Just like looking up his properties?
Yes, of course I am. How am I supposed to know where to window peek if I don't look for him on Zillow?
No, you're looking on Airbnb. Just wouldn't that be fun? Okay, if you could Airbnb like a famous person's house, whose house would you want to stay in?
Jimmy Buffett comes to mind.
Yep, I want to stay at Stevie Nicks' house. I would have liked to have visited the Queen. So I guess I got to visit the King now.
Did you watch Harry and Meghan?
I did.
Did you watch The Crown?
I did watch The Crown. I watch pretty much everything royals. I know you're late to the party on this one, but I was raised on the royals. My grandmother was convinced someday one of us would get invited to like Windsor Castle or something for tea. We would know what, you know, fork to use or whatever. So a lot of table manners in preparation for that.
I have yet to get the book from Prince Harry called Spare on audiobooks, but let me tell you about Dave Grohl's book, The Storyteller. It's my first audiobook. I have 3 hours left. Dave tells the story. It's amazing. He goes into the Kurt Cobain stuff. He goes into so many different things. When you look at a lifetime career in rock and roll, he quit high school, didn't even get a high school education. He quit the school his mother was a public school teacher at, which looked a little weird, right? But his mom said, hey, if you're going to go on tour, be damn good at what you do. And it turned out pretty well. He's worth, I think, close to $500 million.
Yeah, but see, you know what? Here's what I don't like about the American story, right? People think, oh, that takes guts to believe in yourself in high school and go out on the road. You know what takes real guts? To leave your comfortable retirement at 40 years old and then decide you're going to be a musician and go on the road.
I know a guy that was in someone famous's home. His name was Glenn Williams. Glenn Williams, I met in Houston, Texas. He listened to the radio show that I was on, and he knew that I liked to play golf. And when I went to hire a company to put carpet in my house, he came over and was the installer. He was the head guy. And we got to know each other. And so we started talking about, you know, places that he'd put carpet in at. He went to George Bush Sr.'s house, and they had to recarpet all of the, underground tunnels from the safe room.
Sure.
When he was explaining this story, it was just crazy.
I'm also thinking, like, how much dirt do you track into your pods that you've got to replace the carpet, right?
I know.
They must drill quite often. The protocol and the procedure, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, they probably have drills.
Yeah.
I'd have a drill if I had a safe room. I don't have a safe room. I don't think anybody wants to take anything I have. I have about a quarter of a bag of Nerds gummy clusters that I'm about to enjoy. Oh. Other than that, there's nothing in this house. I got a brand new pack of floss. So how about that?
Well, you do have some pretty sweet Margaritaville memorabilia in your garage.
I do. I don't know if he's going to tour again, but if he does, I'd love to go see him for the 37th time. But who is coming to town is Beyonce.
I heard that. Yeah.
And Beyonce is not going to play at the stadium. She's going to play at Huntington Bank Stadium. So where the Gophers play college football, that's a great place to see a show, by the way. She'll be coming up and tickets are on sale soon. Have you seen Beyonce?
I have not seen Beyonce. I did see Kelly. Oh, God. Is it Kelly Williams? I think it was one of the original members of Destiny's Child. But she did a appearance at a radio station I worked at before. And she was very, very good. But it was short because it was on a rooftop and it started to rain and she didn't want her hair to get messed up. And so she played like two songs and she's like, I'm done. And I didn't blame her. I didn't want to get wet either. I was thankful for it. I was like, thank you, curly hair. We have to stick together.
I was going to a fundraising event while I was in Houston. And I didn't know, who was all going to be there that night. But I knew that I had to dress up, which I don't like. I show up at this fundraiser and all of a sudden here comes a black Escalade. Tinted windowed. Well, that's not uncommon in Texas. Everybody's got tinted windows. But then here comes a second Escalade, a third and fourth Escalade. Then getting out of each Escalade are people that are bigger than any NFL people I have ever seen. And after they come up with a security cleared area, Beyonce and the rest of Destiny's Child walk right past me. And she didn't even look. Would you pay to see Beyonce at Huntington Bank Stadium?
I think I'm turning into a snob as far as venues, a reverse snob. I don't want to see any more acts in large arenas. Things that are multi-purpose spaces, I don't like it. I want to see someone at First Ave or something like that, you know? So that's kind of my thing. I'm into smaller, more medium shows right now. So, but if Beyonce was going to do something like that, or like a jazz club or something like the Dakota or something like that, that would be awesome. You know, Prince used to do that, but.
How about the Armory?
The Armory would be great. The Armory is another great example of a place that would be cool to see. I'm just sick of the stadiums and then you go in and it's just, you know, it's, I don't know. It doesn't feel like art to me. It feels like I'm at a, you know, a gym.
I like going to shows at casinos. Mm-hmm. There's many things at the casinos I like. First of all, most of them have a steakhouse. That's where the night begins. Second of all, you got your show. 2,500 seats. Not bad. Not huge. Not bad. Very well, easy and in and out. And then you got gambling. Oh, my God. So how can you possibly lose? And so I think I have tickets to one show at the end of the month of February. We'll see where that goes. Now, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame names just were released for the year. How about Iron Maiden or Rage Against the Machine?
Well, both. Yes and yes. I love both of those bands.
How about Willie Nelson?
Oh, of course. How is he not already in there?
Well, because he's country, and until Dolly got in, they're really.
Oh, that's right. But he's, yeah, technically, I suppose he is country. He's had some stuff that kind of crosses over chart-wise, but okay, I'll give him that.
Missy Elliott.
Love it.
White Stripes.
Yep.
Kate Bush, Sheryl Crow, Cyndi Lauper, George Michael.
He should just have his own Hall of Fame. I love him.
Warren Zevon.
Oh my God, Werewolves of London, that poor guy. I heard him in an interview one time, and he said that that song almost made him quit being a musician because they would just be like, play Werewolves of London. He's like, shut up. I've written new stuff.
Jeez. I'm looking at this list. I've met Sheryl Crow. The thing I remember about her most was her arms. She was chiseled.
Everybody loves Sheryl Crow.
Willie Nelson, I got on his tour bus. It smelled like a dispensary.
That's what I'm talking about.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Every year, I try to get into it, and that we watch the induction ceremonies. I just like watching live music, and I'm kind of becoming a snob too. I don't want to go to a football stadium to watch a show when it's going to sound like crap. Now, the thing about the U and Huntington Bank Stadium, I've been to three or four shows there. Outside holds about 40,000 people. It's always really good. My wife went to the U2 show and they got poured on.
Yeah.
And I remember Bono saying, if you're not going to leave, neither are we. And they just kept playing.
Well, yeah, because they're from Ireland. It rains all the time there.
What have you been watching? Anything lately that you've streamed that's been worth talking about? Because I've seen some stuff that's awesome. Shrinking is a show that is on Showtime. I did not have Showtime, but I do now. So check this out. The opening scene of this show called Shrinking is a guy in his backyard at his swimming pool with two hookers in the pool. The next door neighbor at 3 o'clock in the morning goes out to address their loudness.
Okay.
She asks the question, well, where's your daughter? Well, she's sleeping. There's no way she's sleeping. If you woke us up, you woke her up. And so her father is out in the pool with two hookers. Turns out he's a psychotherapist and he is completely dysfunctional. So he goes into his practice. And guess who owns the clinic he works at? Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford is awesome in this show.
All right.
And you know who else is in it? From Saturday Night Live, Heidi Gardner.
Well, oh, my God. Well, okay, I was going to pull that one out of my ass. What?
I can safely say this. This show is really funny. I'm talking really funny.
Okay.
For example, he goes in and he's hungover from doing Adderall and bourbon all night long. And one of his patients starts in on her session and he stops her and he goes, do you realize this is the same shit we've been talking about every week for 3 years? Your husband's verbally and mentally abusive. You need to leave him right now. And she goes, I didn't think you were supposed to say stuff like that. He goes, I'm not, but I don't want to continue doing this. Either you leave him or I'm not going to be your therapist anymore. Right. And the guy completely snaps at his patients and it's freaking hilarious. And guess who recommended it to me? My therapist.
Oh, really?
Yep. My therapist told me to watch Shrinking.
Do you think your therapist recommended it because your therapist wants to break up with you too?
Probably. She knows me pretty well.
Having a sense of nostalgia lately, I want to go back and rewatch older things. And since I've got the HBO, the boyfriend had never seen Sopranos. So we started watching The Sopranos and I forgot how good the writing is in that first season and how much it's just about Tony Soprano's mental health because he's having panic attacks. And the reason why he starts having the panic attacks is because the ducks he was nursing in his pool in the backyard flew away and he's with the psychotherapist and all that kind of stuff. And then the mother, I forgot, like that was a really, really good show. Towards the end, I kind of fell off because I didn't feel like Tony was actually going to stop being a sociopath. I didn't feel like his character was going to develop too much more because he was so violent. But It is really entertaining, the first, to go back to it. It's pretty funny. And to see everything in the year 2000, watching people load the internet is a riot.
I know for me, I never go back and watch things twice. I have been tempted. There are times when I offer to watch something twice if I'm trying to get my wife established into the series I'm watching or that I would like her to watch. I got another one for you, too. Oh, my God. This is an amazing show. Oh, holy balls. It's called Your Honor, and it's with Bryan Cranston, and it is so good. Bryan Cranston plays the part of a judge, and his son gets into a motorcycle wreck, and there's a fatality. The kid freaks out because he hit the kid on the motorcycle. He leaves the scene of the accident and goes home and tells his father what happened. His father, being a judge, said, we need to go to the police department. We need to, you know, be honest. Well, they get to the police department, and there's a family identifying the body of the dead kid. And that family is a well-known mob family. And if you like Bryan Cranston, it's just another great thing he's done. Breaking Bad, to me, was the kickoff of streaming everything and binging everything. I couldn't shut that show off ever.
It was too stressful.
I know Succession's coming back, I believe, on March 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that.
On Hulu earlier this year, they released a dramatization of Pam and Tommy Lee's sex tape and how that came to be. Obviously, I can understand why. She was very upset about that and had agreed to do a documentary kind of telling her side of the story for Netflix. And it's the same documentary guy who did another Netflix series called The Keepers, which was about, I think it was the murder of a nun on the East Coast in like Boston or something like that. But anyway, it's good. I just watched it. I didn't realize a lot of her background and like exactly how small of a town she came from and how much the relationships with her marriages kind of mirror her relationship with her mom and her dad. And I think you get a different perspective and you realize that this is not a dumb woman. I think it's interesting. And she does it with no makeup. Like all the flashbacky stuff is with her all dolled up and everything. But as she's sitting there doing the interview, she's basically in like a white nightgown and a you know, like a slouchy robe and no makeup and still a beautiful woman.
I remember when she was married to Kid Rock.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Did you see that? She comments on that in her new book too, because she's got a book that's accompanying this as well. And she talks about why they broke up. Did you read that article? She didn't tell him she did a cameo in this movie and they went to the premiere of this movie. And she thought it would just be funny, like, surprise, I'm in this movie. And apparently he stormed out and was super pissed off. And there was a lot of like important industry people there, like Steven Spielberg was there. And because there was, you know, it was kind of a sexy scene. And of course, you know, it's Pam Anderson. And so, but then he had some very not nice words to say to her.
Well, I can safely say that Kid Rock never really holds his tongue, does he?
You know what? He had one really kick-ass album, and I will not regret the time I spent with his debut album. I had a lot of good memories. But Kid Rock is a character that he made up. His parents come from a fairly wealthy part of Detroit, and he acts like, oh, I'm from the trailer, and I'm this, and I'm that. No, you're not. You're from the middle class, dude.
You know what my favorite Kid Rock song is? Greatest Show on Earth. But there's another one he does that it is the best redneck video of all time. You got to watch it on YouTube. It's called Podunk.
Okay.
I've never seen anything this red, and I have been accused of being a redneck, and this is way beyond me.
I will say this, though. I have seen Kid Rock in concert, and I didn't realize that he could play so many instruments, because what they would do is he would be singing, and then they'd bring the house lights down, and then they bring up the spotlight and he'd be behind the drum kit or, you know, behind the guitar or whatever. And the music was seamless, though. It was constantly going. So the guy's talented. It's not that. He just, I don't know. He just seems like a phony. to me. I don't know. He's not good enough for Pam. You know what? If Pam isn't going to fall in love with me, then no one can have her.
I can say that I've seen Kid Rock twice live. He was a top five show for me both times. Two questions with Elon. You ready? My first question of Elon is this. What is your favorite kind of candy? And the reason I want to know is I'm looking for something new. My wife was kind enough to get me some Klondike bars, but she also got me some Nerds gummy clusters. I love Nerds ropes, and they're just like that, only in smaller chunks. So I'm looking for good candy suggestions. I had my A1C check. I'm pre-diabetic. Pre-diabetic. I've got about a half a point to go. Yeah, because I don't want to be sticking myself in the finger every day doing needle sticks and what have you. Gross. Second question with Elon. What kind of car do you drive? Do you think he drives a Tesla or not?
You know what he probably does to work and back, but you know he's got like some kind of Jay Leno garage somewhere where he's got lots of stuff.
Do you hear about Jay Leno, by the way, getting into a motorcycle wreck now?
Yeah, take his keys away, dude. You're in trouble. You need to chill out for a minute. Yeah.
First third degree burns on his face in his garage, and now motorcycle wreck. And he said, he goes, I got on my bike and went around a corner. I hit Jeremy Renner's snowplow. You got one for Elon?
I've got a couple for Elon.
Okay.
Have you ever lied to someone about how much they owed on a check at a restaurant? Have you ever lied to someone about what their portion was?
That would make you an a-hole.
Yeah. Okay. Follow-up question then. That one seems kind of like it didn't go anywhere. Have you ever lied to someone about having some kind of a financial hardship in order to get their assistance?
I don't know how he got all of his money. Do you?
Dicks. Sucking dicks. No. He basically started a bunch of dot-coms, it looks like, that were fairly successful. X.com, it looks like, became and turned into PayPal. So he owned 11% of the company, and the company's net worth was $175 million. He got startup money from his dicks, sucking dicks. He might be that guy.
A little while ago, we were talking about therapy, right? And different television series based around therapy.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil has just announced he's going to retire after 21 years on the air of Dr. Phil. Oh,
thank God. Why'd you bury the lead story? Jesus, finally, Jeez. That reign of terror is over.
I had a radio partner in Houston that actually got on the Dr. Phil show, and it was about forgiveness. My partner, her husband, was a heroin addict. He was selling things that were her possessions in order to feed his disease. And she came to work one day and she was crying. And I asked her what was wrong. And she said, I believe my guy's going to sell my son.
Like sell him? Like there's a black market for children?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah. It was a messed up thing. So anyway, but she would not break up with the guy. He went to prison.
How much can you get for a kid?
I don't know. Depends how well-behaved they are, I guess.
Well, I mean, times are tough. I'm just curious.
There's many times I think parents would want to sell their kids. Yeah, Dr. Phil, I never met him in person, but I did meet his son a couple of times, mm-hmm. and he's a really, really good guy. So that's pretty good. Survivor, did you ever watch it?
I was pretty obsessed with it for the first, I don't know, like probably 8 or 9 seasons, and then fell off, like most things.
I know that for me, I was very into it early on. And eventually, after I moved to Minnesota, I met a guy here that we've had on the podcast, Gary Strateski, who was on Survivor Fiji. Well, the new Survivor that's coming up is, again, back in Fiji. And this time there's 3 people from Minnesota that are going to be contestants. I know that this buddy of mine had to be airlifted off because he got bit by a critter. Ooh. Got really sick. Yep. If you Google Papa Smurf Survivor. Mm-hmm. You'll see his story.
I met Rupert from whatever season that was, like five or six, the tie-dye guy, the big hippie tie-dye guy with the big beard. I met him at Sturgis.
Decent guy.
Oh my God, super fun. He was running around selling his merch and just smoking huge, huge joints. Huge.
You know, a lot of times when you see, you know, Snoop Dogg smoking these things, yeah, they're massive.
Yeah.
I don't even know who rolls them. Where do you get papers that sized?
I would just have my own official roller. I'd be like, you do it.
That's the first mention of weed the whole podcast.
Huh. You know what? Speaking of weed, you know what would be really fun would be to smoke some weed and then go on the newly discovered world's most giant water lily, like a lily pad that you'd see in a pond. These things are confirmed to be over 100 years old, and they can, and there's in the Royal Botanical Gardens in London, certain species they realize are different than these other ones, right? So there's this unique species that's been there for 177 years, and the world's largest giant water lily can support up to 176 pounds and can grow 10 feet across. And they've got like a little side on them, so it almost looks like a little pie tin.
So where do those grow?
It's this botanical garden in London, which has the original record holding ones of the biggest ones. Now they've found these ones that are 170, they can hold up to 176 pounds, and they were grown in Bolivia.
Can't frogs jump on lily pads?
Oh yeah, that's what, yeah, they like to hang out in ponds. I've never seen one this big. We used to, there's big ones. I remember at my Uncle Don's cabin, which was up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, out in the backwaters and near the ponds, there was lots of lilies and lily pads and stuff. And I always thought they were so cool. But yeah, this one's big enough to support a human. Dicks, sucking dicks. A 29-year-old woman enrolled in the high school and pretended to be a new student. She signed up for classes, forged a birth certificate, and enrolled at New Brunswick High School. Officials announced that during a board meeting on Tuesday night, that Shin, that's the last name of the woman, allegedly attended classes for 4 days last week, but spent the majority of her time with guidance counselors who were trying to get more information on her. Once the ruse was discovered, Shin was barred from the district property and all the appropriate authorities were notified. And they're saying this is an unfortunate event. Apparently, she was charged with providing false documentation, and it's a government document. So that's going to be an actual problem for her with the false birth certificate and that. But apparently, a lot of the parents at the school board meeting are like, well, what are we going to do? You know, and it's like, well, you know, this has never really happened before. So I'm not against the school for not having a policy. Like, we've never had someone come in and try to 21 Jump Street us before. So, I mean, what the hell? But it was kind of dangerous and weird, the stuff she was doing. Apparently, she was trying to reach out to different teens in the school and get them to text with her. And one male student alleged that, she had texted him several times and also some other students and tried to lure them to a specific street.
So she was a stalker.
Kind of, yeah. They don't really, she hasn't given a ton of information as to what her motives were, but she's a young enough looking person where it's kind of like, could you pass for a high schooler? Not really, but gosh, it's hard to tell sometimes. I'm going to be popular. I'm going to redo everything and they're going to love me.
Isn't it weird how people are getting into schools at will, right? People a lot of times bringing guns with them. They just get into schools. Now here's a woman that actually, you know, is trying to enroll, but obviously for other reasons. Freak shows everywhere. I hope you've enjoyed all of the podcasts. You can go back on our website and click on old ones that you've missed. My guess is you haven't heard all 89 of them because that's a lot. And we can only, you know, if you want to email me, if you missed one, you can, right there at moonpjugandhobbs.com. PJUGG. PJUG is massive. Have a good night.
All right, you too, man.